Welcome to Leading the Way Audio with pastor, author, international Bible teacher and evangelist, Dr. Michael Youssef, celebrating more than 35 years of ministry impact around the world. In the 8th chapter of Luke, we're told about a woman who experienced the miraculous healing of Jesus. We're also told about the crushing social and personal isolation she endured before her restoration. She's an example of God's grace being poured into lives when experiencing the loneliness of isolation, a malady that many are suffering with, even in 2025. Today on Leading the Way, Dr. Youssef offers the cure to loneliness. Listen along as Dr. Youssef begins this episode's teaching.
Turn with me to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Even though I'm going to be focusing on few verses, that is verses 43 to 48, but in this situation, the context of the entire chapter is really important and will bless you. The bottom line that I'm going to come to in a minute is this. There was a woman who was involuntarily isolated and lonely. She experienced that crushing loneliness of deep pain. And there you're going to see how Jesus lovingly, tenderly, how Jesus deliberately brought her out of her loneliness of isolation into fellowship. Living in loneliness of isolation has increased so much in greater proportion than any time in history. I think you know and I know that some want to break away from that loneliness of isolation. I know that and you know that. There are many who are longing for a cure for their loneliness, but they don't know how to go about it. But I'm also aware of the fact that some don't. The truth is that loneliness that is a result of self-imposed isolation is the worst kind of loneliness. And we've been looking through a whole bunch of them. But the amazing thing about this loneliness of self-imposed isolation is this. It knows no limit of age, of gender, of rich or poverty, of marital status. There are isolated in loneliness who are single. There are some who are married. They're rich, they're poor. All are experiencing the pain of that loneliness of isolation and do not avail themselves to the cure, which we have. We have the cure in the Word of God and in the Church of Jesus. Now, although this whole series of messages that we've been going through about the cure for loneliness, I kept emphasizing throughout the series of messages that there is a world of difference between loneliness and aloneness. And I'm going to do that again today because it is vitally important to understand the difference. Because taking time out of your schedule, take time out, whether it be short or long, it doesn't matter, to isolate yourself for the purpose of spending time in the presence of Jesus and His Word can be one of the most exhilarating times in my life and in your life. Look with me, please. Verse 40. Luke 8, 40. Now, we put the text where?
In its context.
Thank you. Here is the context of this particular case. The context will bless you. I will not miss the point. I'll get back to my main point. But the context is also a great blessing. Write them down if you're taking notes. Because it's going to give you further evidence that our Lord does not do things arbitrarily. Our Lord does everything with precision. That our Lord accomplishes all things according to the counsel of His will. Even though the main point is the Lord's desire for His children to come out of isolation, but the side issues are very important as well. Because He wants us to live in communion with one another, in fellowship with one another. But there are side blessings in this chapter. Back to the context first, before I get to this woman. Jesus had just landed from the Lake of Galilee, just landed on land. And he comes out, but before he landed on the shore, there was a horrific storm that absolutely terrified the disciples so much so they thought they're going to die, and they thought it was all over until Jesus came and rebuked the wind and calmed the storm. But these masses on shore who desperately in need of Jesus' touch and Jesus' healing, these masses of people on the shore, now they were watching that and they saw that storm and what Jesus did. Among them, there was a specific man by the name of Jairus. He just happened to be the president of the synagogue. That's what they call them now. I have a friend and neighbor who's a president of his synagogue. Jairus was the president of the synagogue, the local synagogue. And he had a 12-year-old daughter who was dying, who was very sick and dying. And so he reaches out to Jesus to come to heal his daughter. Verse 41. He was literally begging Jesus to come to his house and heal his dying daughter. Now, Jairus' desperation is not the issue here, okay? What I want you to notice is Jesus' response to Jairus' desperation. It's amazing. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Now put yourself in Jairus' shoes, who actually believed that unless Jesus comes quickly to his house and heal his daughter, she's going to die and it's going to be all over. Jairus, as in the case of Lazarus' sisters, you remember from the last message, they believed that Jesus could heal the sick but not raise the dead. Jairus' sense of panic led to this severe urgency. Come, come with me. Come now. There's no time to waste, Lord. There's no time to waste. Jesus, you need to come and you need to come now. Not to walk, but to run to the house. Now feel with this man. Please just feel with him, okay? If his daughter dies, it's going to be all over. No hope. Know that those of us who have been there in desperation, watching our children or grandchildren suffering, you would know the pounding of the heart and the dryness of the mouth. And we've been there several times. So every time Jesus slows down to touch someone or heal someone or talk to someone, Jairus' sense of urgency probably became unbearable. I mean, just think about it. But like in the case of Lazarus, which we saw again in the last message, our precious Lord just takes his sweet time. Have you been there? I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been there. I don't remember how many times when I'm in a hurry, but God wasn't. Why? Because our Lord operates in a whole different strata. Are you with me? Here you can really feel the sense of frustration on the part of Jairus, especially when he saw Jesus not just walking on eggshells and being so slow, he stopped altogether. I mean, that was absolutely indescribable pain. He talks to some woman, to Jairus, the president of the synagogue. Probably, I'm not saying it is, but probably she's a nobody. She's a nobody, right? Let me tell you something. There is no one who's a nobody to Jesus. But this unidentified woman takes hold of the tassel. But as an aside, just as an aside, if you've never been, I'm sure most of you probably haven't, in the middle of a throng of people, I mean, literally, the walls are pushing in. It is so hard to even move your arms. If you've never been there, you will not understand it. But take my word for it. I've been there. Verse 45. Peter becomes incredulous at the statement that Jesus just made. Somebody touched me. Huh? Somebody touched me. Lord, what are you talking about? Somebody touched you? They're pressing from every side. And the masses are pressing. Crowd, we can't even move. Somebody touched you. Lord, it's a miracle that they have not literally knocked us to the ground. Somebody touched you. It's amazing to me how Dr. Luke, being a physician, he draws parallel between the age of Jairus' daughter, 12, and the period of time that this woman has been suffering and hemorrhaging, 12 years. 12 years. I mean, this woman has been sick for as long as this little girl was been living. But listen, when this hemorrhaging woman touches Jesus's, or takes hold of Jesus' tassel, she's immediately healed, and the hemorrhaging stopped. Can I get a witness? Most of us would say, oh, well, isn't that great? That's just another miracle, a wonderful miracle taking place. But everywhere Jesus went, miracles were taking place, right? That's a common thing when you're hanging around Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, he healed. He touched lepers when nobody even came near them. He raised the dead. He delivered demon-possessed. Probably there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people healed by Jesus. In fact, John says at the very end of his gospel that if everything that Jesus did and said be written, there is no library that can hold all the books. Here's the main point. Here's the main point. There's one vital reason why Jesus stopped and made fuss of this miracle when power left him. The miracle that has just taken place. Now I'm going to come to the main point in a minute. I always get to my point. This woman had severe medical problem for 12 years. And she has been living in this misery. Her medical condition produced dilapidating fatigue and weakness from the loss of blood. And yet, her physical agony, listen to me very carefully, please, her physical agony cannot be compared with the social and the religious isolation. Leviticus 15, 19 to 20. Read it when you go home. I won't read it right now. A woman hemorrhaging blood was considered ceremoniously unclean. As long as she had this condition, she cannot go to the temple, she cannot go to the synagogue, she cannot even be around her family, because if her family are closely around her, they too would be considered ceremoniously unclean. You talk about the walls closing in. I doubt if any of us has ever comprehend the depth of this woman's experience. I doubt it. There may be. I doubt it. You talk about isolation. You talk about alienation. You talk about the loneliness of desperation. Listen to me, please. She is an outcast socially, religiously, spiritually. Medically speaking, as little as they know medicine back then, they couldn't help her. None of the examining physician could help her in any tangible way whatsoever. In fact, Mark and Matthew both tell the incident from their point of view. In Mark chapter 5, verse 26, it says, she suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors. No doubt she's embarrassed. She didn't want anybody to see her. She's feeling shame and humiliation regarding her condition, secret condition. Most likely she was terrified, because if her secret is revealed, oh my goodness, you've got to live in the Middle East as I have, and I know she would have really suffered the scorn of the entire community. So she comes from behind and takes hold of the tassel that most rabbis would have worn back then. And Jesus probably was wearing one. Is that tassel hanging out? I know that English translations of the Bible said the hem of his garment. But you see, the translators probably did not want to go into the explanation of a shawl that worn by the rabbi and the tassels. So it's the hem of his garment. But the word used here also is very significant. It wasn't just she touched it, or she even just tugged on it. She got hold of it. She got hold of it. She clung to it. Matthew actually gives us even more information. Presumably, he talked to her afterward. Because he said in Matthew 9:21, it says, she said to herself, only she would have told him that, if I touch his tassel, I will be healed. That was her faith. Oh my goodness, my goodness. And Jesus honored her faith. Can I get a witness? As soon as she grabbed hold of the tassel, she was instantly healed and delivered from the hemorrhage. And the hemorrhage stopped. Oh, beloved, listen to me. We know that Jesus often healed a lot of people, right? He healed all sorts of people. He healed people who had faith, and he healed people who didn't. Think of the 9 lepers who got healed, never came back. Just only one come out of the 10. And there, with people healed all the time, whatever they are in the area of their faith. But listen to me, Jesus never saved anyone who did not have faith. I want you to look closely at verse 28. Verse 28, here's what he said to her. Daughter, don't miss this one, don't miss that. Daughter, your faith has made you whole. Not just healed you, but made you whole. Go in peace. She was not just physically healed. She was not just emotionally healed. Above all, she was spiritually healed. She was saved. She was saved. Listen to me, please. As soon as Jesus called her daughter, she instantly went from shame to royalty. From shame to royalty. From shame to royalty. Now, those of us who have been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ, we know what it's like to go from being depraved to being the heirs of the King. Can I get a witness? We know what it's like to go from deprivation to royalties. But the big question is this: why did Jesus not keep confidential matters confidentially? I mean, he knows she came secretly behind his back and touched on the... Why didn't he keep quiet about it? Why did he not keep the matter secret? Ah, this is really the whole point of my message. There can be no doubt that this woman represents untold numbers of men and women, not only in this beautiful sanctuary, but watching us around the world, who may go to church, occupy pews in the church, while they are well-dressed and intelligent, while they wear beautiful clothes and beautiful masks, but on the inside, they are hurting like the dickens. Oh, they may be hurting physically, they may be hurting emotionally, they may be hurting socially, and they may be hurting spiritually. Oh, but above all, they're living in a quiet desperation. Hear me right, please. They all have this one thing in common with this woman. With this woman. This woman who timidly, tentatively pushed her way through the crowd, through the throngs, putting hope against hope that no one would notice her, that no one would recognize her. Nobody will even realize her inner anguish, her inner pain, her inner secret, her inner isolation. Oh, but beloved, 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 you know and I know that the all-seeing eyes of Jesus, the all-knowing God, was waiting for power to go out of him to you. He is waiting for power from him to go to you. He is waiting for you to exercise mustard seed faith. And as I said, Jesus could have kept confidential things confidentially. He could have pulled her aside and he said, whispered in her ear, your faith made you whole. We'll keep that a secret between us. He could have done that, right? I know how you feel. But he didn't do that. He didn't do that. Why? He could have let her keep her faith private, like so many professing Christians. My faith is private. Jesus sought to identify this woman publicly. That's not a cruel joke on the part of Jesus. No, not at all. Because beyond the physical healing, Jesus wanted to bring her out of her loneliness of isolation. Jesus wanted to bring her out of her loneliness of alienation. Jesus wanted to get her to publicly declare her victory. He wanted her to publicly declare that Satan's oppression is over. Jesus wanted her to have the courage to testify to his liberating power. Jesus wanted her to testify against Satan's snare of loneliness of isolation. And yes, Jesus wanted to give us the courage not only to be physically healed, but eternally saved. But even beyond that, to have a ministry. To have a ministry. A ministry of testifying publicly. Some of you have been recipients of many blessings from the hand of God. And yet you're keeping it all to yourself. You seldom testify as to what God did for you. You have prayed in desperation and God answered your prayers. But you keep it all to yourself and never testify to the goodness of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. And Jesus brought this woman out of her loneliness of isolation so that here we are 2,000 years later, 2,000 years later, be challenged by her. Today, some of you may be in self-imposed loneliness of isolation. I don't know, you do. Come to him. Come to him. Surrender whatever it is that's holding you down. The Lord does not want us to live in the shadows. The Lord does not want us to live in the peripheries. The Lord does not want us to live in the silence of shame. He's calling you. He's calling you. Will you respond? Will you respond?
Thank you for joining listeners worldwide for the last episode in Dr. Youssef's life-changing series, The Cure to Loneliness, on Leading the Way. And if today's message from Dr. Youssef prompted faith questions, consider beginning a conversation with a Leading the Way pastor or counselor. Fill out a contact form at ltw.org/Jesus. You can also review the comprehensive FAQ page while you're there. ltw.org/Jesus.
What can separate an unreached person from the gospel of Jesus Christ? Can distance, technological limitations, blindness, illiteracy, disability, disease, war, persecution, government restrictions, abandonment? Not anymore. Through the Open Door campaign, Leading the Way is delivering the gospel to remote villages, reaching those formerly cut off from the good news of Christ. Through the Navigator, you've already helped us reach 2 million people in remote areas.
And that serves two purposes. Not only that reaches us remote people who are desperately in need of the gospel, but it also reaches the people who may be illiterate. We're seeing the incredible success of this little gizmo called the Navigator.
Let's walk through these open doors together and take the gospel to the ends of the earth. Learn more at ltw.org.
If you would like to learn more about the Navigator, the little portable MP3 players loaded with the Bible and Dr. Youssef's messages, please contact the Leading the Way Ministry Call Center at 866-626-4356, or you can visit ltw.org to learn more. ltw.org. Well, do plan to join Dr. Michael Youssef for the next Leading the Way audio, when he passionately proclaims uncompromising truth from the pages of God's Word. And pray for him and the Leading the Way team in Washington, D.C. this weekend, participating in Awake D.C. This program is brought to you by Leading the Way with Dr. Michael Youssef. Connect further with audio and video content at ltw.org.